Welcome to the Whistleblower Newsroom. I'm Christina Borgeson here with my co-host Celia Farber. Today we're going to talk about the new C word. Replacing, at least for now, cancer is the verbal spear for striking fear into the hearts of us all. We're now deep into coronavirus madness. The visuals have been stunning. We've seen people keeling over in the streets. We've seen Asian people eating bats while reporters talk about close proximity to wild animals as the possible culprit for the spread of the virus. We've seen Kourtney Kardashian. Yeah, I did it. I mentioned a Kardashian on the Whistleblower Newsroom.
How did she get involved in this?
Wearing a very chic black face mask while masses of mere mortals wear white ones. We see people running to the supermarkets to stock up. Latex gloves are all the rage. Trump says he misses touching his face. The stock market is crashing. Meanwhile, several firms are working feverishly, all puns intended, to market a vaccine. Oh, the billions that will generate when everyone in the world runs to get their coronavirus vaccine, which in all likelihood will be mandatory. Be afraid, be very afraid, and stay afraid. I don't know how much sense anyone can make of this, but if anyone can begin to, it's our very own Celia Farber, who's currently writing an investigative series on the virus for UndercoverDC.com titled, quote, The Corona Situation. Now, Celia's seen this madness before. She saw the same hyperventilated reports and visuals in the 80s when she was covering the HIV/AIDS crisis that was supposed to kill hundreds of millions and didn't. Her reporting exposed the pharmaceutical and biomedical malfeasance going on back then, exposing most of the reporting on the issue as dangerously inaccurate, for which she was, of course, mercilessly attacked.
Buzzsawed.
Her reporting was collected in a book, which y'all should get to read, called Serious Adverse Events, An Uncensored History of AIDS. Then her 2006 expose in Harper's, Out of Control, AIDS and the Corruption of Medical Science, won the Semmelweis Society's International Clean Hands Award for Investigative Journalism, which triggered a virulent backlash against her on the parts of the industries that she had exposed. We should all be thanking our lucky stars that you're on this story, Celia. So, serious, because here it is. In times like this, expertise and historical context are everything. So today, dear listeners, my treat for you is a discussion with Celia, who will bring her longtime, painfully acquired experience to talk about her latest article and her observations and discoveries from the front lines of coronavirus madness. So take it away, Celia.
What a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome.
I was listening to that thinking, who's that? Oh, she's talking about me. Sounds like someone who sort of has it together. I am in a good position to address this. I was ambivalent in the beginning. I was going, I'm not doing another one. I differentiate, first of all, between, well, actually, before I get into that, let me say the very first person that I am aware of that was ever on to the lies of the HIV/AIDS industrial complex. Oh, thank you. Did you just turn me up? Okay, good. May I just ask, are we okay sound-wise? We are. That's better? Okay, good. Was Gary Null. Gary Null was on it probably as he started writing in Penthouse magazine about everything that was fraudulent about what they were telling us about HIV and AIDS. And I came around in 1987. I started working at Spin magazine, actually a couple years earlier, but 87 was when the HIV AIDS the war between camps began. Is it a virus? Is it lifestyle? And that was the big mushroom cloud that then enveloped my life and my journalism for the next couple decades. And everything you said is accurate.
What were the big lies on that one, Celia?
That the U.S. government had established that the cause was a retrovirus, which we always call a virus. Retrovirus virus, that the U.S. government held a press conference. We call it by fiat. That's a term that we use, those of us who have critiqued it. The government told us that it had proven that a virus was the cause of the new, they used to call it gay cancer. It was appearing in gay men in large cities who had what was then called a fast lane lifestyle. Fast lane lifestyle.
Euphemism for what exactly?
For a lot of sex in bathhouses. It was the receptive partners who were getting sick. In order to facilitate, this is what...
So we're talking about, let's be clear, anal sex.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
All right.
And to facilitate that, heavy chemicals were used,
uh-huh.
such as amyl nitrites, also known as poppers, were sold in every other store, you know, down here in the village. And they were used so frequently, not just poppers, but antibiotics came to be used as like popping candy prophylactically. Now, I'm still nervous saying these things. Saying these things back then, you know, caused the worst howling outrage. This is, bear in mind, when what we now call political correctness, identity politics was just really taking shape. And the idea that, you know, you can't say that.
Yeah, but well, what did
yeah,
you
but it's
say?
True. You like can't say.
The chemical stew created by...
That, to put it bluntly, that the syndrome, which is actually was actually correctly named acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Right.
Not contagious immune deficiency syndrome. That the syndrome was acquired by many rounds of different kinds of battery to the human body. And that they were environmental and chemical. Now, if I say lifestyle, that sounds a little moral. You're not allowed to, you know, make any moral judgment.
Well, I mean,
and I don't. But it didn't work. It was a fusion, a coming together.
Nobody's judging that part of it, except to say that it's not the cleanest part of your body for sure. You know.
Yeah. Well.
And then if your immune system is if that kind of activity compromises your immune system, and then you take antibiotics a lot, that compromises your immune
right.
system.
And then you don't sleep, and then other
yeah.
recreational
and
drugs.
And then you take the poppers and so on. So
and the meth and the everything else. And so, but in the media, it was, wait for it, perfectly healthy gay man coming down with mystery disease, which we have now found a virus for. Bob Gallo stands up in front
wow.
in 1984. We found a virus, and you're all vulnerable to it, every last one of you. The original model was tertiary spread. Everybody you've ever slept with and everybody they ever slept with. And when it, yeah. And then it was Haitians, and it was Dolph. I mean, the original spread, I remember them. I remember them weirdly like they were yesterday.
Wow.
It went through different rounds. Toilet seats, lettuce. I remember they were saying you could get it from a lettuce leaf.
So if they had been honest, what would they have said in terms of, look, you want to get rid of this thing? This is what you have to do. What would they have said?
It's an excellent question. The CDC was honest in the beginning, believe it or not, and the CDC was very scarcely funded before AIDS. And when they were scarcely funded, kind of skinny, the CDC, what they were looking at as the first model for AIDS was a toxicological syndrome centered on poppers, amyl nitrites.
Yeah, the Kaposi's sarcoma
yes,
were caused
poppers,
by the poppers.
Poppers caused Kaposi's sarcoma lesions and lymphomas in mice.
Oh,
so
God.
They basically had a working disease model, causation model right there. We got to get to Corona. I could get long and tedious about what happened next and the funding, but basically to cut a long story short, there was a wave of retrovirologists and virologists coming out of cancer because the viral cancer theory, Juggernaut was failing. And these guys really needed a hot, important, all-over-the-media disease to attach themselves to
nefarious.
Get funding, to get prizes and awards. And you see, it's this whole thing that springs up instead of just what we would all like to see, a sober analysis of the disease.
And the prediction was hundreds of millions of people were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people have died?
I don't know, but nothing close to what. One number I remember is 90 million Americans by 1990. 90 million Americans. The level of HIV in the human population, in the U.S. population, has been one long, consistent, straight line. It has never gone up.
And they're still collecting a lot of money for it, too, right?
It's a $1 trillion industry. And it's a negligible disease in terms of death. Now, they would say, yeah, that's because we saved everybody, because we told everybody to use condoms every time they had sex. And if the condom broke, to go get tested. And if you tested positive, to go on all these drugs, which vanquish the virus. You see, I call it the first debt-based illness, because they told us what the cause was. They told us it was a virus. They told us they had patented. In fact, they didn't tell us, but they had patented the test the day before the announcement.
Doesn't the insert on the HIV test say that it doesn't necessarily...
insert says the test is really the big rabbit hole. I hope we can devote a future show just to the HIV test and then the so-called corona test, which is still into... There isn't a valid corona test. People keep saying, who got tested? This one tested this way and that. It's not even as good as a coin toss, the PCR test they're using now. But let me get back to your question. You said... I've already forgotten what you just asked me. It was about the HIV test. Ah, yes, the test inserts. Okay. HIV test inserts actually say, many of them do, this test cannot test for the presence or absence of HIV. It actually says that. Now, what could that possibly mean? It means that they never, by the admission of Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for the co-discovery of HIV. So this is interesting, too. How is a virus co-discovered in two countries, France and the U.S., right around the same time, within a year and a half period? Why didn't Bob Gallo get the Nobel Prize? Well, let me just say this about Luc Montagnier. He admitted in a very... in my crowd, famous interview, not a mainstream periodical, he admitted to a journalist that they never purified a virus. He said, I repeat, we did not purify. What does that mean? That means there's no actual, coherent, identifiable pathogen. So what is there then? They took blood from sick people, they mixed it with, let's just say, other manipulated laboratory artifacts until they got what was called retroviral budding. Mm-hmm. And then they took those proteins and they sort of built HIV. When they built the test, so they built, this means if you light up for this, this, and this protein, you, quote, have it.
Oh, my God.
And that's antibodies, and that's not the thing in itself. Now,
right,
when you
right.
take an HIV-positive person and you take their blood...
you're testing for an engineered thing.
Yeah, not a bioweapon, I want to be clear.
Right.
But a heavily laboratory-manipulated... thing to then teach people to be afraid of. So when people were afraid, I have it, the condom broke. They were running out and getting tested for antibodies, according to this, by the U.S. government, manufactured scare test that was supposed to mean you're about to drop dead from AIDS and didn't at all. It's not that there's no relationship. It's not good news to test positive for HIV because it is an indication of a stressed immune system.
Yeah.
But the test cross-reacts with 60-plus non-HIV proteins. You can test positive, false positive if you're, and I don't even know if there are any true positives anymore. But I'm going to give you the what I consider to be the center of the labyrinth, the most shocking thing, and I didn't even learn this until it was sometime in the last 5 years, because this hadn't happened in the early years. A legal team seeking to free prisoners who were in the military, men who had been charged with having sex without alerting their partners that they were HIV positive. Now, that is a that's a very serious offense and crime for which a person can serve many, many years in prison. If you can't prove you're HIV positive, you can't prove that you told your partner. That is, I don't know exactly what the crime would be. You know, it's assault with a deadly weapon, essentially.
Right.
So they went in, and there were these military cases, and in the military cases, they took their blood. They were HIV positive men. They sent them to anonymously, without saying what they were doing, to electron microscopy labs. So this is the real test.
Yeah.
In each and every case, it came back. There's no HIV in this blood.
Whoa.
Each and every case, and I believe this team freed some upward of close to 60 men, maybe 57, 59 men from doom, from prison. Either got them out of prison or got them out of, they were about to go to prison and they got them off. And what did the government do? They shut down the EM labs.
Of course.
These guys couldn't do the testing anymore. Okay, so let's move on to Corona.
Yeah, let's fast forward to Corona.
So all those years of being shocked as a journalist by the difference between reality and what real scientists were guiding me to understand, both about what is a virus, what is an antibody test, what's crazy about this, because this was the first time, this was a black swan event, I would say, in American biology.
A black swan event is an event a terrible event that occurs seemingly
no
out of
one's
nowhere,
expecting it
out of nowhere. Yeah, that's a black swan event. Okay.
So
ahead.
At the press conference, what I would call the real scientists, I could also call them the elite.
At what press conference?
I'm sorry. Back now to 1984, when the U.S. government.
Oh, we're back in AIDS.
Sorry, we went back to AIDS for a minute. When they announced that Robert Gallo, who, I'm sorry, but he was not considered a top scientist. He was very ambitious. He was very charismatic, but he was not one of the, because he had been trying to pin his viruses to various illnesses in the past without showing the proper scientific conduct or caution, to say the least, right?
Okay. Proper.
It takes, what you have to have, and we don't have it for Corona either, is a causation model. You in the old world, which is gone now, you had to prove, if you wanted to accuse a pathogen of causing a disease, you had to prove it. You had to fulfill, first and foremost, what's called Koch's postulates, which I'm sure most of our listeners have probably heard about.
I doubt it.
It's, oh, okay. Maybe it's just my circles. We talk about this stuff. first and foremost, the accused pathogen has to be present in every case of the disease. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Let's say flu, which I dispute the word flu and all of it, but let's just say flu virus. This flu virus is supposed to cause this flu. You can't have this flu if you don't have this flu virus, right? Okay.
Right.
So that wasn't fulfilled with age bias by any measure. They didn't even have, they had somewhere around maybe 30% even correlation. So correlation, we know, is not causation, but at the very least have correlation. So they didn't have that. So the elite scientists at the time, they didn't even go to this press conference because they thought it was so ludicrous on the face of it that a retrovirus could cause this deadly wipeout of cells in a human body that was AIDS. It was like the total, like the 9/11 of your immune system.
Right.
A retrovirus is a, now, again, it's rabbit holes. There are some camps that say that there's not even really such a thing as retroviruses, and I've studied that camp, and I'm drifting toward that camp. But let's just say, for now, for this conversation, retroviruses were a class of virus, and this really pertains to the Corona situation, in 1984, when this black swan event occurred, turning American biology and virology upside down and inside out, to the shock and horror of all the good scientists in the field. Retroviruses were known to be benign, harmless. I think Peter Duisberg, you know, who's most known for going against all this and who paid a very high price, he called them pussycat viruses. They just didn't move. They didn't do anything to cells. In fact, they were vectors in gene therapy and stuff like that. You would use them nothing. Okay. So how they suddenly declared a retrovirus to be deadly and wily and could do all these things that no virus had ever done. The good scientists were just scratching. They didn't even go to the. They just said, "Oh, that'll never fly." And I've documented it, all of these consternations from these scientists who objected, and were all wiped out one way or the other.
So Corona is
a cold virus by category.
A cold, like achu cold.
Achu cold.
Okay.
Coronaviruses, rhinovirus. It's a common cold virus. Common cold virus, not deadly. There are about seven of them that had been mapped. They started to map them sometime in the 60s. Uh-huh. They cause respiratory distress. They're very survivable. Mm-hmm. Now something happens with this family of viruses in the 90s. Sorry, forgive me. What am I saying? 2000s. If you want to look it up, I want to guess 2003 was when SARS happened.
Oh, SARS.
So SARS was also a coronavirus, but suddenly it's deadly, and the thing I'm describing, the apparatus with the funding and the global panic and the restrictions and the masks and the billions of dollars and all of it kicks in around a coronavirus the first time with SARS. Then there was another one called MERS, which stands for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. MERS, I wrote about this in my first...
February 2003 was SARS discovered in Asia.
Right.
The outbreak lasted approximately 6 months.
Right. So... I guess you could say that on the map of all this, all of a sudden coronaviruses are developing the potential to be deadly, but what we don't know is, are they doing something to them? I'm not really big on the bioweaponry story. It's not my expertise. I'm not saying there aren't. I wish they would just shut down these labs. I don't want to speculate on what is causing the illness that is being caused. I want to focus on the language. It's being called corona deaths, both in China and all over the world. It's over 90 countries now that are said to be afflicted with this. The symptoms, I want to remind people, are identical to any common cold or flu. It's shortness of breath, cough, fever.
Respiratory.
Your lungs, and fever.
Right. And by the way, there's been a report.
I think I'm leaning into the mic again. I'm doing that thing people tell me not to do.
There's a report by Global Research, Michelle Shasadovsky, who says, so in China there have been 78,961 confirmed cases, and more than 36,000 of them have already been treated and they've been treated with this antiviral drug. Now, right now, you know, you heard about the Israeli firm Gilead, who's working feverishly to get this. Well, they've been using this antiviral drug called Favilavir, which is produced by a company named Moderna, owned by another company, a Swiss-based banking and asset management company known as Bellevue AG, and they're getting ready to put out their mm-hmm. vaccine. And
there are no accidents in this business. There are no accidents. They hang together internationally, the global corporations, the global governments. This is globalist disease industrial complex. There, I just coined a phrase. AIDS was the first one, I would say. And this is the crowning jewel, perhaps. They already got, and you know, corona means crown. They already got 7.4 billion dollars from Congress to study this. And there are 11 deaths in the United States. There are many illnesses. I don't have the lists in front of me. What do you think is the most common death? Put money into, you know,
well, right now,
things
how many,
people die of.
How many millions of people are suffering from the flu right now in the U.S.? I think somebody has reported something like 12 or 15 million people, 12 million people.
There are between 29 and 70-something thousand deaths said to be from flu every year
right now,
in the U.S.
15 million cases of influenza in the USA.
Right. So okay. So what happens when you, but they're not sexy, right? This is the new, it's so weird. It's like.
Yeah, but what's scary is
it's almost
vaccine
like the
business
advertising
where everybody's
going
to be forced to take the vaccine. By the way, somebody else mentioned, this reporter again for Global Research, he said it's very interesting that in the past 2 years during our trade war with China, in 2018, China had the H7N4 bird flu, okay? And then many chickens were killed, this guy reports, and China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. And then there was the African swine flu that killed millions of pigs. That was August 2018.
It's the animals who die. They get slaughtered en masse.
And
it's
then,
terrible.
You know, there was January 2020. We have the highly pathogenic strain of bird flu in Hunan province. So all these strains keep hitting China for some reason, or starting in China.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want to pull back a little bit and just say, so first and foremost on people's minds, am I going to die? Are my children going to die? Right? As you stressed, and as we're both stressed, this is even in China where it's at its worst. And I'm saying it, but I want to talk about what do we mean by it.
Right.
Because as our friend John Rappaport has pointed out on this show, you also have the rollout of 5G. Virtually its epicenter on planet Earth is Wuhan, China, 5G. Now, 5G, yes, 5G.
What?
The 5G frequency targets oxygen, targets breathing. So you'll see, why do birds, sounds like that song by
why
the Carpenters.
Do birds suddenly fall out of the trees? La, la, la.
You have a nice singing voice.
God.
But seriously, you've seen probably those videos of 5G rollout where the birds just fall down dead.
Is that real?
And the
real?
Trees just die.
Is that
oh,
real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's real. So 5G is a deadly frequency. There are death frequencies. And so it's very hard to say what's going on. Why are people dying at such faster rates in China? Now, also, do you agree with me? Anything could be happening in China. They didn't prove that a coronavirus was killing these people. They said that, and then we adopted it wholesale. Coronavirus. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So why would a coronavirus suddenly be killing people in China, and why would it kill people in China so much more dramatically than anywhere outside of China? Now, South Korea has fairly high, figures that are a little bit alarming, and Iran and Italy. Most countries, like, for example, let me take a random European country, Germany. Don't know if I have the numbers in front of me, but last I looked at the numbers was just a couple of days ago. And they have close to 200 cases.
Right.
And zero deaths. Why is that? So those who are, you know, I'm sort of just going around the table here. What are people speculating? There are camps that are speculating that this is a bioweapon, but it was designed for certain receptor sites that are only in Asian people.
God, that sounds like a conspiracy theory.
What I think is important is to just not go into the fear zone
where they want us. They want fear and separation. Everybody needs
fear
to
and
be
separation,
individuated. Stay away from me. Don't cough on me.
When the first interview I saw, I was taken aback. It was Lori Garrett, one of the most, probably the most prominent go-to super globalist pandemic promoting author, Bill Gates' favorite author. She's won every journalism award, the Pulitzer, the Polk, the Peabody. She's Council of Foreign Relations. She's on every show right now.
And what is
she
saying?
She was behind every last. The first show I saw her do, I was surprised because the first Corona scare show on the morning shows, she said, well, coronaviruses are cold viruses, so you should take precautions, like wash your hands, like stay away from people, don't sneeze on people. But then, and I thought, oh, that sounds very
reasonable.
Very reasonable. But then she said, and so the hosts were saying, oh, okay, so just kind of like stay away from people and wash your hands. And
like
if
when you
touch
have a
someone,
cold. Yeah.
But then Lori Garrett said, we call it social distancing. And something in me just went, uh-oh, they're ready.
Hold up,
with
hold
a whole
up.
Social engineering program.
She called it social.
She said, we call it social distancing. And that was just weird. Do you hear it?
Yeah.
It jumped out at me and I know these people. And
right.
I thought, they got another one waiting in the wings with the whole thing, with the social engineering, with the terror programs, with the guilt, with the language and the phrases and what you, and now you have posters coming out. I saw one just the other day online, and this is not a joke. Social distancing guidelines, which in the 80s was safer sex guidelines. Social distancing, guidelines. For example, you're not to hug or kiss your friend who you meet in the cafe. I'm not kidding. There, you can do, I'm not joking. You can do the elbow, right? You knock elbows. You kick each other's ankles.
Oh,
like
for
that.
Christ's sake. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I'll pull it up.
Oh my God.
Right?
And oh my God.
So this is
That's
what
so bizarre.
I'm afraid of. And that last piece that made you say, let's do a show on this, it's up right now on uncoverdc.com. And it's called Serfs of Globalism. And it's called something else after that. I forget. After the colon. Why do I say serfs of globalism? Well, I hope it's obvious. Because the globe.
Here it is.
Oh, you found the poster?
Well, I found strategies for effective social distancing. So it says, adhere to public health hygienic recommendations by washing your hands after touching commonly used items or coming into contact with someone who is sick. So proper hand washing involves scrubbing hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and water. So basically, you should walk around with your sink and soap on your back because, you know, you're going to have to be doing that every whip stitch. Avoid touching your face, nose, and mouth, and avoid rubbing your eyes, which is why Trump says he misses touching his face.
That's a weird thing to say.
That's really weird. I thought it was funny, but,
I see.
Oh, miss touching my face.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to avoid.
I get it. Yeah, I can hear him saying that. Okay.
Practice proper coughing or sneezing etiquette. Properly dispose of anything that comes in contact with your mouth, such as tissues or plastic eating utensils. Avoid coming in contact with individuals displaying symptoms of illness. If working in close proximity to other individuals, attempt to keep a distance of approximately 3 feet from the nearest person while working. Avoid congregating in large public venues such as theaters or sporting events.
That's the key. Stay at home. Yeah, but what you just said, read that last one again,
avoid
please.
Avoid congregating in large public venues such as theaters or sporting events.
Who does
Boy,
that
that's crowd. That sounds like crowd control.
Crowd control.
Oh,
and what happened to the Hong Kong protests?
Yeah.
And they're saying those who want to take down Trump, they're saying no, he's irresponsible if he keeps holding Trump rallies.
What?
Oh, yeah. They're saying no more rallies of any kind, no more sports events, possibly no more Olympic Games. You know what's coming up in Japan? The next Olympic Games. Are
oh yeah,
in Japan,
I mean
right?
Concerts are being canceled. They're playing, everywhere.
They're football games. I forget where in Europe where they're still playing, but there's no audience. I mean, sorry, what are they called? Not an audience. What do you call it? A football spectator?
Yeah,
what are they called
spectators?
Yeah, like
oh my god.
So. Okay, I found the poster. It's on my phone. I'm going to hand it to you.
Let me see.
I want you to know I never lie to you, Christina.
Oh, God. Handshake alternatives.
I wish we had
the
a camera.
The wave.
Yeah, read them all. Read them.
The Tai Y. So, in other words, you namaste.
Right.
The elbow bumping. The foot shake where you...
You kick each other.
Bump feet.
You bump feet.
By avoiding handshakes, you can lower the risk
I'm
of getting
never
infected.
Doing any of these
I
things.
Mean,
I'm just saying right now, we are not going to humiliate ourselves.
I mean, this is very disturbing. This is very disturbing.
I know, I'm laughing. It's very disturbing. This is what I've been on about with AIDS. I started out in the very beginning, oh my God, everyone's going to die. Am I going to die? All these poor gay men, why are they dying? And we should die, too.
I mean, literally, you can see people flinch in the subway when somebody coughs you know, sniffs or whatever.
It's about breaking down human connection and human bonds. That's what they've always been after.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so evil.
And
oh, my God.
That's what I took on eventually in HIV/AIDS. There's the what seems to be... People have sometimes asked me, why do you care so much what causes AIDS? I actually don't. I care what they erected around that, which was a
well,
whole
yes,
new
of
religion.
Course you do, because something has to be, it had to be addressed. But
I'm
the
sorry,
fact that
I care as much as I care what causes cancer, what causes heart disease, what causes,
I care. I care about those things, yeah.
I care.
Right.
I should have said it differently. I care, yeah. But why would I stay on a story for over 20 years? Because I saw... How
the social engineering.
The social engineering.
It.
How they were building this dome of,
oh,
and they changed everything between humans. They changed everything. They changed how we
love.
You know, and even I'm so socially engineered. I thought, can I use the word love? You know, I see how it works, right?
Yeah.
This is what they're after, and this interestingly.
Oh my God.
Or terrifyingly,
it's like fundamentally evil. You
it's
know?
In 1984. It's in, you know, in the scene in 1984 in George Orwell's dystopic novel. This is a scene I keep coming back to in my mind, and it doesn't get mentioned a lot.
Uh-huh.
The lovebirds, Julia and Winston, it's a love story.
Yeah, yeah.
Julia hands Winston a note. It's top secret. It could cost them their lives. Nobody's supposed to see it. In the cafeteria, she hands him and slips him a note. What does it say? It says, I love you. So the state that he envisioned, the greatest crime was human intimacy and love.
Yes, yes.
That's what they hated the most. Why is that? That's something demonic that we can't wrap our heads around quite. But they really want to break down human bonds.
Well, if they break down human bonds, then they have the field to themselves. You know, in terms of power and control, because everybody's individuated into their own ball of powerlessness, and because what is fear?
You have such a way of saying things. What? I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Individuated into their own ball of powerlessness.
Well,
that describes what I feel like is my life most days.
Yeah, except you keep piercing that ball with your pen, my dear, you know, I mean, which is a good thing. But my point being, if everybody is paranoid about everybody else, then...
All against all.
Yeah,
it's all against
exactly.
all.
Exactly. And so, okay.
And now they can, of course, they can get us to do anything, right? Well, maybe not you and I, but...
No,
right?
Well, they can, because, I mean, already you can see, like you go to the grocery store... You know, there are no latex gloves on the shelves right now.
Yeah, many stores there's no food on the shelves. There's no toilet
paper.
There's many stores.
But you can see there's like targeted buying of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
toilet paper is a big.
What's the toilet paper deal?
It's a crazy.
I don't get that part.
You can't buy toilet paper in Australia anymore.
Why? What is toilet paper going to do against the coronavirus?
And maybe Japan.
I don't get that.
It seems to be one of the things people are terrified of being without.
Toilet paper?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So anyway, yeah, I wouldn't like to be without it either. But anyway, my point is, all right. So let's actually, I don't want to make another point on the negative side. I want to know, Celia, as you have been through the wars before, you have seen this movie before, what can we do? What can our listeners do? And I don't mean like, oh, write your congressman or whatever. I really want to know what people can do to like pierce this veil of duplicity and fear.
Number one, resist fear. Repel fear. I mean it. And remember.
How do you do that?
Here's how I do it. As a new Christian, that's the word, new Christian. By new, it's been a few years since I began, because I felt like the demonic in this AIDS thing, which after most of the reporting was done, I felt like it was trying to kill me. And I felt I had to answer, and I began to pray, and I started to study the Bible, and I realized that it's central to the Christian faith, that if something is trying to scare you, that's the enemy. That's actually Satan. That's the devil.
And yeah, but not everybody's a Christian, Celia.
I know. I'm not saying everybody's a Christian. I'm just saying that's how I confronted all these spirits of fear that always used to get me so bad. And I understood that if something is trying to scare me, that's not, I'll just call it the Holy Spirit. That's not of the Holy Spirit. So for me, now anyone can call it anything they want. There's good and evil. Some people will say it's the universe that wishes me well. Whatever it is in your mind that wishes you well, you have to invoke that.
So, okay.
That wishes you well. Because life itself is not something that wishes you ill. These are forces, economic, powerful, global, and I would call them, fallen angel, Luciferian dark forces. That's what I would call them. So these forces want to scare you to death. They want to control you to death. So I think the first thing to do is to actually go inside and say, like what I say when the fear comes, is I say you, I say outward to the one I see as the enemy, I say, you are a liar. I'm not afraid. What I'm afraid of is dehumanization and being cut off from my fellow humans, and not
disconnection being is the thing that's worse than
love and laugh and make plans and believe that I have a future.
I believe that.
That I'm afraid of, and that's what they cut off. The first bomb was AIDS. So the first thing is to, again, of course, I'm not suggesting everybody go to the Bible, but whatever it is that you turn to, and most of us do have such a belief system, such a faith, whether it's religion or whatever it is, right?
I think fundamentally, everybody, fundamentally, I don't think anybody, let's put it this way. I don't think very many people would disagree with the fact that love is truly the bottom line.
The answer, yeah.
Love and connection. And
but I want to say something that goes that...
And anything that tries to sever that in any way has to be examined very closely.
It's a malevolent spirit, right? You don't have to be...
It's a malevolent energy, okay. Yes, I agree.
Okay, so right. So a non-Christian might say energy. A Christian might say spirit. I think we can all have the same conversation. We know when something is trying to scare us, and we can repel it. We can say, I'm going to decide what I believe. If I see a tiger coming down the street, I'm going to get scared. But if you're telling me to be afraid, can reject it.
Well, yes. What we have to caution then our listeners is when you're watching – you're being bombarded by
that's
all
abuse.
This press
that's abuse,
coverage.
First of all, it's abuse.
You know, that's making you run out there to the supermarket to buy more toilet paper than you'll ever need in 5 years or whatever. It's not to say that you should not be cautious. It is flu season. It is cold season. Maybe there is, coronavirus maybe you'll get coronavirus, but it's not a death sentence. Necessarily, unless, first of all, if you love yourself, you take care of yourself. Well, right. Well, and if you take care of yourself,
you take a lot of vitamin C. Okay.
You will be healthy enough to deal with anything.
Yeah. Now, know? Vitamin C has become a belabored, you know, like, oh, yeah, vitamin C. But in all seriousness, very high dose vitamin C is a master weapon against all this stuff. So is selenium. I talked to my friend Robert Scott Bell the other day, and he informed me. I knew selenium was very important, but he said it's just as potent as C. There's colloidal silver. So now I've moved from the spiritual plane to the material plane.
The practical plane.
Yeah, hand washing is fine. It's great. It's good. Hand washing. I think that when we get sick, it's because we're. I have come to this conclusion over many years, and I was very sick myself. Is that we're demineralized because the minerals have gone out of our soil. So you want to focus on minerals. For those who eat meat, bone broth with grass fed bones.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easy to say all that, but a lot of people, you know, I don't know if you've noticed. But groceries, the price of food,
I know,
has been skyrocketing.
Okay, so cheap
ways. The price of
exactly
organic food is
stratospheric.
Yes,
right. There are many ways, and you can just start looking it up on the internet. For example, Celtic sea salt. You mix some of that and some honey. Drink that every day. You're going to get a mineral boost and an electrolyte boost. Most people can afford fairly good quality eggs. Most people, if you eat eggs, that's a very good source. Nuts are a very good source. You know, there's just all these ways you want to look at. And one thing I learned recently, dates, medjool dates, have
those
among the highest concentration of minerals.
Expensivo.
Okay,
but
let me just say this though.
I think it made me think of something when you were talking about all this. Don't just listen to the news reports. Actually, do research. Do research as if your life depended
on
it.
Yes, because they don't want you to think you have an immune system.
Because they don't want you to know
that your
what
body's
other energy. People might be reporting. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to, and I know from firsthand experience, having come down with a deadly illness that I battled back against, your own body, your own immune system is your greatest weapon.
That's
it's
right.
Your greatest weapon. And food is medicine.
Food is medicine.
Food is medicine. We're sounding like Gary Null now.
Yes.
God, how do we go from the investigative corona? But it is all of a piece. It is all of a piece. And the other thing, I mean, the bottom line is that there has to be a shift in headspace among people. They have to say, you know what? This smells funny. This whole thing about this coronavirus popping out and, you know, people being quarantined, people being told they shouldn't communicate with each other, that they shouldn't be in crowds, they shouldn't be out on the streets, they shouldn't. And all of a sudden you feel like, I feel like, you know, I'm being suffocated. And then a vaccine is on its way, and by God, you're going to have to take that vaccine.
What they're trying to do, you know, is block your sense of a future so that you constrict and you say, what do I have to do? What do I have to do?
Yeah, right? To live, to survive.
Yeah. Like what I call this the cockroach mentality. Let's quote Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur, mm-hmm. on his deathbed, do you know what he said?
Qu'est-ce qu'il a dit?
The microbe is nothing. The terrain is everything. The terrain is everything. So the terrain is the human body. It's the water we drink. It's the air we breathe. It's our bodies. It's what we put into the what I'm calling the globalist medical industrial apparatus. What they want you to think is that the terrain is nothing. Only their microbes that they launch and earn trillions of dollars from.
Right.
Are the thing to worry about. So they always want to stress the virus. I want to say, direct answer to your question, focus on the terrain, focus on your overall
health.
Your health, focus on detoxification, focus on avoiding at all costs GMOs, glyphosate, as much as you can. It's expensive, but there are ways around
it. Focus on the positive, too.
Focus on how they've lied to you consistently every fake plague they've ever tried to launch since the early 80s. Look it up. AIDS predictions, 1984 versus AIDS numbers, 2004, 2014. Look up SARS. Look up H1N1. Look up Zika. They keep trying. It's the same crowd. It's the same people.
Oh, yeah, Zika. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are also saying, yeah, I know that all the others were fake news, but this one feels different. Here's why. Because they're shutting down the economy. They're shutting down. They shut down China.
Yeah.
They shut
down. Well, look at the Dow. The Dow keeps
crashing. Why are they
doing
that? Why are they doing that? Now, is it because China has a much more... I write for the Epoch Times. And I spoke to my editor about it. Now, in China, something very bad is happening. And I don't know. And how could I know? I've looked at... Okay, here's one thing people can do.
What do you mean something very bad is happening? What are you talking about?
There are crematoriums where they're burning people 24/7.
What? For what?
To decontaminate the Wuhan and surrounding regions from corona, ostensibly. Or is it something, in other words, so the idea is this is a bioweapon, it got out in Wuhan, and the Chinese government knows, which is, you know, authoritarian, communist, not like our different. They have to get rid of every single place where this contaminant exists. So it's almost too dreadful to say what some people are speculating is that they're putting people in the ovens even before they're dead. I don't know. But somebody found a thing where it said there was a job description to work at one of these pop-up crematoriums, but you had to not be afraid of ghosts and goblins. And supposedly that was because there were screams coming from... Now, okay, this is all terrible. Now I feel like I'm fear-mongering. I feel it's very clear the story in China and the story in outside of China, they're two very different stories. So outside of China, let's talk about the United States. The numbers are very low. They remain very low. They creep up by one or two every day. And of those, as President Trump said in one of the two press conferences he held last week, they talked about the 15, and he followed them very closely. Of those... something like 6 fully recovered, something like 4 were home and almost recovered. And he's very interested in that.
Yeah.
And he's getting attacked for that because that is not the globalist mindset.
Right.
I really get into this in my piece, which I would love it if our listeners would go and read at uncoverdc.com. I'll read the title of the piece, Serfs of Globalism. In the age of corona, what dies first is the inalienable right to not worry. So again, back to the fear. Just take your right, seize it back from them. Say, I have a right to have a worry-free day. I'll wash my hands and all of that, but I'm not going to live like a serf under this thing that's pushing me down.
And you have a right to walk the streets without fear. You have a right to go to, you know, a concert without fear.
You also have a right.
And
to,
you know,
I want to say you have a right to say, I don't know when I'm going to die. And I'll die when I die. And you're not going to live in debt with this fear until I die. I have a right to just be happy until I die. None of us know when or how we're going to die. And I think that's I always went on about this in my AIDS reportage, that I was very offended by them taking the death clock and imposing it on people. If you test positive, first they said it was 6 months you're going to die, then they said it was a year, then they said 2 years,
well, yeah,
5 years, 10 years,
sentences.
20 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
But you're never off their clock, right?
Right.
And what they should say is, well, the way I would say it, only God knows. You can't impose that on people. You're a tyrant if you do that. You're an abuser if you do that. And you're also cashing in on people's fear. That they literally have it in the stock market calculations, what happens to stock when fear is at certain levels. So always be very suspicious of fear.
Right.
That's coming at you in waves like this. Don't think, oh, they're trying to protect me. They're my government. No. They're trying to exploit you, terrorize you, make money off your fear.
You know, another thing is that I heard some people talking about how they want to do virtual money so that, you know,
oh, let's talk about that. I don't know how many minutes we have left.
We have like 3 minutes. Four minutes. Okay.
So my second piece for Uncover DC, I looked at Chinese citizen journalists' Twitter accounts, and they were fascinating. And I was wondering what life was like, and they were so full of humor. And sadly, those videos got taken down. Those Twitter accounts got taken down, and I thought to film them before they got taken down, but I didn't get to it before they disappeared. But one of the videos was several of them actually were of people. Women boiling bills in their kitchens and hanging them on clotheslines. And I thought, well, that's weird. So that was the idea that the coronavirus, I don't know if they've isolated or purified a virus or any of the necessary steps, but what we're calling coronavirus was supposedly on the bills. Now you're seeing stories in Western globalist media, corona spreads by cash. What do they want? Cashless society. I think they're being very transparent because we live in an age when we can see them, we can see through them, thanks to the surge of alternative media.
Yeah, and citizens coming, stepping forward and reporting on
and
stuff.
And we know about, this screams New World Order. This screams globalist repression. And they think that some people who haven't been watching that are just going to think, oh, God, it's a virus. Okay, so that's not the end of the world if people get afraid. But if people start to live like they really are, you know, like they have to stock up it has an effect. Avoid people. It really has an effect. And we have to push back against that and just say, I would just say, remain human, everybody. Remain human.
Yeah, I was going to say, our connection with each other is everything.
Hug each other, kiss each other.
The bottom line is love. It really is. And I know this sounds squishy. But it's actually true if you think about it. Just put that fear aside and remember, we're all connected. You know, we're all connected to each other. You should care and love for your neighbor. You know, start with your neighbors. Start with your neighborhood, whatever.
That's right.
So anyway.
May I read, let's quote Albert Camus in The Plague.
Yes.
Nothing in the world is worth turning one's back on what one loves. That's from The Plague.
Amen, sister. That's what I say.
So in the 1 minute that we have left, here's something darkly comical. A Chinese company, this is in my piece, just launched a full-body plastic shell bat-like suit structured like the wings of a sleeping bat, which isolates them from others and sterilizes their breathing air with ultraviolet radiation technology. It's called Be a Batman, and it promises to make people popular because not only will they not spread corona, they will, during contact, help kill it. I want to devote this show to a dear friend who just passed away, and we would have been on the phone laughing about all this. Rob Drescher, I love you. Well, it's all right.
Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.